If you are visiting with us, thank you for being here this morning. We have got a number of people that are here to see their moms or here to see their daughters. I think it's pretty cool when moms come to celebrate Mother's Day with their daughters. That's kind of a neat thing. So thank you for being here and thank you for being part of our worship service this morning. And if you have any need to get rid of those salted caramel things, the preacher loves them. So Lindsay threw the very last one at me pretty hard, but I still ate it. And so please enjoy that and think of your kids and think of a church that loves you very much. My guess is that almost everybody in this room has been richly blessed by the faith of their mothers. Not all, but most. Because moms would move heaven and earth for their kids. We've all read those stories where moms have literally moved rocks and boulders and lifted up cars enough to slide a kid out from underneath it. I've read stories of heroes that have given their own lives so that their children might live, who were more than willing to give a kidney or to donate liver or to give whatever it was so that their child might have life just a little bit longer. And my guess is, if I ask most of the moms in this room, what would you give up for your children? Most of them would say, anything demanded, because that's how much they love their kids. One of the stories that we're going to come across in the Gospels is a story of a Canaanite woman who is willing to move heaven and earth to get what is needed for her child. And so I want us to read that story this morning. So here's what Matthew records for us. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. For my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And Jesus answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Okay, you have come across that story as you have read your Bible, and you have gotten to that story, and you have not known what to do with it. Because Jesus is just a little bit different. And the language Jesus uses seems a little bit strong. And you've gotten to that text, and in the midst of that text, you say, what on earth do we do with Jesus talking about dogs and bread and table and apparently ignoring this woman at the beginning of the story? And so I want us to wrestle with that story for a few minutes this morning, because I think there is a great lesson behind the woman's persistence. And that Jesus is giving an opportunity for her, this mom who loves her child, to teach us. Let's start off with a little code. Jesus is near a place called Tyre and Sidon. Now, if we had a big map, you would know that Tyre and Sidon are right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And they are Jewish places of, let's not say Jewish places. The Jews would say they are places of complete depravity. That if you live in Tyre and Sidon, that is like living in Las Vegas. I don't know if anybody in here has ever lived in Las Vegas. If you lived on the strip in Las Vegas, that might be a better way to compare this to. Tyre and Sidon were code for Jewish people to say, this is the worst of the worst. And so here Jesus is, and they have crossed over the lake and the Sea of Galilee, and now they have made that journey from the Sea of Galilee toward the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And as they are there, they are met by this woman who is from this place. And she's not going to leave him alone. And one of the things I find the most intriguing in this story is the persistence of this mama to get her daughter in front of Jesus. And she's got all kinds of strikes against her. She is a Canaanite and she is a woman and her daughter is possessed by a demon. And even Jesus' own disciples are against her. It almost seems like the disciples of Jesus are trying to kind of hedge her away and they don't want her to have to interact with him. But yet Jesus is going to praise her in a way that he praises no one else up to this point except for another Gentile. Because up until this point in the ministry of Jesus, from the perspective of Matthew, the only other person he praises for faith is a centurion soldier in chapter 8. And so the two people so far that Matthew wants to allude to and says, here are these men and women of God who really love and appreciate all that God has done for them. It's a soldier and it's a Canaanite woman from Tyre and Sidon. And both of them don't fit the bill. See, they don't fit the bill because they're not Jewish. And they don't fit the bill because they can't trace a heritage. And they don't fit the bill because they can't say, here's my lineage of how great all my family has been. But what Jesus says is they fit the bill because they've got faith. And that's what matters the most. And when I think of the mom in my life, and I think of the mother-in-law in my life, and I think of all those women who have surrounded me in my life, I think of women who have got persistent faith. And I want that kind of faith. I want the kind of faith that my mom has, that every morning, whether it was a good time or a bad time, whether they had enough money for food that week or not, who sat in her rocking chair with her Bible in her lap praying over things. And I want to have the faith of my mother-in-law who knows God's going to take care of everything in its time. And I want to have the faith of the women in this church that say, no matter what, God is good and God is good all the time. So what does that faith look like? What does that faith look like from the perspective of this woman in Matthew chapter 15? And I think the first thing is her faith is motivated by desperation. She is determined to see Jesus. Have you ever seen a desperate mom? Okay, I've only seen a desperate mom once. I was in the parking lot of Walmart. And in the midst of this, for some reason, she had decided she was going to lock her car, run in and run out, and come back to her car. And she had left her daughter that looked about 2.5 in the back seat of the car. Her intention, again, was literally 45 seconds of running into Walmart, 45 seconds of running back from Walmart. Now, you and I all know there's no such thing as a 45-second trip to Walmart, because if there was, we would all do it. But she ran in, she ran out, locked her keys in the car. And here is this mom who is literally banging on the window, and she's crying and she's weeping and she's saying, can somebody please help me? Somebody break this window so I can get to my child. The only time I've ever seen that desperate of a woman. I think this woman is that desperate. She's willing to break almost every rule. She's willing, in this, as this Gentile woman who knows that most Jews aren't going to like her in the first place, that she's going to cross every barrier she can find, but she's going to get to Jesus any way she can, hoping upon hoping that maybe her daughter will get exposed to the power of the one called Jesus. She wouldn't know this verse, but we do. This verse might reflect the desperation that was found in her from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writes, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we had felt that we had felt the sentence of death, read the rest yourself and I'll preach from it in a second. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, whatever it is about this woman, she has got this faith and she has got this belief in Jesus, even if she has only heard slight stories that here is a man who can do something about her daughter that is sick. And she had to be utterly burdened beyond strength, despairing to life itself. But like every mom that's ever been there, the answer is found in Jesus. Like everyone who's ever had those moments when they've sat at the side of the bed with their sick child, the answer lies in Jesus. Every mama who's ever wondered, is the prodigal going to come home? Or is the child going to get their life straight? Or is, and we fill in the blank? This passage is for you. Because this is a woman who is desperate to get her child right. But then not only is she desperate, she is patient. Her faith is demonstrated by persistence. Don't you love her persistence? She will do anything to get to Jesus. It's not enough, and I can almost see these disciples kind of blocking her, saying, he's busy, he's got things to do, he's resting right now, whatever it is that's going on in the life of Jesus. And you see the disciples, and I kind of see her as that woman. I always imagine her being about 4'2". I don't know why. She's this feisty little ball of fire, and she busts through the gate and gets to Jesus. And I see her persistence. She is not stopping till she speaks to Jesus. And I think the Father loves it when His people, His children, will break the doors down to talk to Him. And here's a woman who more than anything wants to get her problem to the feet of the only one who can solve it. What's interesting is there are only two parables about prayer, and both parables urge persistence. You got the neighbor in need of bread, and you got the widow waiting for justice. And you get this line in Luke 18 that says, "Then Jesus told His disciples in a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." That's right before the persistent widow. Remember, the persistent widow is the one who says, "Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice." And finally, the king is going to break down and give justice. Jesus appreciates the persistence of the persistent widow. And I think He appreciates the persistence of the woman in our story, because she is bound and determined. Some of you have modeled that persistence, that you have prayed every single morning for a prodigal child to come home. You have prayed every single morning that your child that's in a rough marriage might figure out a way to get it fixed. You have prayed every single morning as you have held that newborn baby in your arms, and you have rocked and you have sung and you have coddled and you've prayed. And there's something about the mom that's persistent. There's something about this character that says, "I want to get my child before Jesus." There's something about a mom that's always praying over her kids that says, "This is what really matters." When you're at dinner this afternoon, and you're celebrating a mom who stayed up every night praying over you, who worried about you when you went to college, who worried about you when you started grade school, who prayed over you a million times, you celebrate that. Because that's what exactly Jesus does. But then her faith is also saturated by humility. Okay, the weird part of the story, let's address it. This story kind of seems a little bit out of the character of Jesus. He uses a word that we would think, that's kind of rude. And I don't think Jesus is being rude, but Jesus calls her a dog. Now, again, if you call a woman a dog in 21st century America, you better hope that she's not mean, or that you're far enough away, or that she doesn't have a big old husband, because you're probably going to get clobbered. But yet, that's exactly what Jesus does. But let's talk about the story. Jewish words, you had two different words for dog. You had the wild dog that ran around the village creating chaos, and then you had the cute little lap dog that sat at the feet of rich people. Jesus uses the latter term. He uses the term that we would call the house dog. And so if you were wealthy, and even if you weren't necessarily wealthy, you would sit there at your meal, and the moment I started writing this, I started thinking of we had an old boxer who loved Sunday nights. Because the old boxer Sunday night, as soon as everybody was out of the house, she knew that it was snack time. Because she knew that every kid that had been around the big tall table in the middle was going to leave her a gift at the floor. And she knew that in the other room there were going to be gifts on the floor. And so the little house dog, who really wasn't a little house dog, would make the circle around both tables collecting a meal's worth. And I think that's the area where Jesus is focusing. He says, "You've got this house dog, and at the table of people who were wealthy, they would wipe their hands on a piece of bread to kind of get off any oil or to get off any dirt, and there was nothing to do with the bread, so you pitched the bread on the floor, and the dog came and ate the bread." And I think the whole point of Jesus' story is He said, "I came first to Israel." And she says, "Well, even the dogs get the crumbs. Even the house dog gets scraps from the table." And I think what she's saying is she's saying this, "I know I'm not a Jew, and I know I can't trace my heritage back, and I know I'm a Canaanite woman, and I know it's my daughter that's possessed by a demon, and I know I got all these strikes against me, but even the house dog gets a little bit." And Jesus is going to say, "Great is your faith." It's powerful. It's powerful that her humility is, "Couldn't I just have a crumb of this?" And we may never fully understand, or maybe never even fully like the way Jesus says it, But what his response is to her and what her response is to him is one of deep and abiding faith. And I think Jesus is maybe both startled and stirred by her faith, because her faith is great. See, because great faith diffuses doubts about God's goodness. See, great faith says, I know that God is good, and I know that God is going to take care, and I know that God is going to provide, and this woman is a model for it. But then great faith refuses to let anybody but Jesus have the last word. See, in the midst of this story, Jesus gets the last word, and the woman knows that the only one who deserves the last word is Jesus. And great faith models that. But then great faith infuses others with the power of God. See, what I love about this story is what happens afterwards. We never see the child. We don't hear what happens next. But kind of like the story of Legion, my guess is Lady goes back home with her now cleansed daughter, and everything is different. And she's got a story to tell, and her story is going to say, you know, we've heard in town about this Jewish guy that imparts some miraculous, and we've heard about Jesus, and I went and I saw him, and I heard he was just outside of town, and went there, and the disciples kind of tried to prevent me, and then we had this weird conversation where he called me a dog, and I said, yeah, but even if I am a dog, at least I deserve a scrap. And he says, great is my faith, and look at her. Look at her. See, the power of the story is not only the persistence of the woman, and the power of the story is not only the loving movement of Jesus among the story, but the power of the story is we never see the little girl. And the little girl is right again, because mama has moved heaven and earth for her child. If you got a mama who's done that, you're privileged, you're blessed, you're lucky. But what's better is if you have a mama like that, she has got a God like you have no matter what, that will do anything and everything for his people. Let's celebrate that. Let's not just celebrate our moms with tea towels and my mother-in-law's getting a coffee pot. I just let the cat out of the bag. Let's not just celebrate with lunch. She ordered it for me and said, pay the bill. Not quite that bad, but let's not just celebrate at the Liberty with brunch. Let's not just celebrate with whatever it is we're going to do this afternoon with our kids. Let's celebrate what God has done through the people who call on his name to bless their children and to bless the world. Maybe you are in the same kind of predicament the woman is in, and you need Jesus. We're not going to bar you from trying to get to her. To him. If you need Jesus, the door is wide open, and for him to do whatever it is he needs to do for you. And maybe it's some healing, maybe it's some work from sin, maybe it's from freedom from whatever it is that's got you tangled up. Maybe you just need to call upon his name. Maybe you're ready to say, Jesus is Lord of all, and I'm going to trust him with everything. Then we'd love to celebrate your baptism. But most of all, we want all of us to have the same great faith as the Canaanite woman, who says Jesus is the answer and he can take care of it. So if you need something, let us know as we stand and sing.